Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin, Daf Tez Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tez Vav Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom. Omra Chizdo Gidut Chamisha Mechitz Chamisha. Actually, we begin now a sugya that is not directly related to Masechta Gittin. However, in the previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us a concept, Oy Kula B'Kiyum HaGet, Oy Kulam B'Takonas Chachamim, that if one wanted to verify the get, he either could choose the formula b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam, or be mekayim the get, have the get confirmed as all stars are confirmed. However, we cannot combine these two different types of confirmation. So our Gemara begins to discuss other situations where in halacha we find different methods not being able to combine. And the first issue, the first concept that the Gemara discusses is Hilchos Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos there are four Rishuyos. Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, a Karmelis, and a Mokum Ptor. Rishus HaYochid is an area that is at least 4 amas square and surrounded by walls that are at least 10 tefachim high. Discusses Rav Chisda's situation where we have a pit, and we have here Machloikis, Rashi, and Tosfos, how to understand our Gemara, where we have Gidut Chamitza and Mechitza Chamisha. According to Rashi, we have a pit that's 5 tefachim deep, with a wall around it that's 5 tefachim high. And Rav Chisda teaches us to aim at Starfim, that although the person inside the pit is surrounded by a wall, by combining these two things of ten tefachim, it's not considered a Rishus HaYochid. And the Mefarshim explain, this is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, and Rab Nochem explains, why does Rashi hold this way? Because even though for the people standing inside the pit, they have walls that are 10 tefachim high, the people standing outside the pit only see a wall of 5 tefachim. They don't see the depth of the pit. And in order for it to be considered a Rishus HaYochid, it has to be an area that is visible also to the people in the Rishus HaRabim as an area that has a wall of 10 tefachim. And in fact, I saw that the Gerish Yerachim explains in Rashi's Pshat that in a situation where it's not a wall that's surrounding the pit, but it's actually the earth that one digs out from the pit, so there it's very likely that the people outside the pit recognize that this is a pit with a wall of 10 tefachim, there Rashi might agree that it is considered Rishus HaYochid and under all circumstances. Tosfos has a different pshat in the Gemara, and Tosfos says that the case that Rashi refers to would certainly be considered a Rishus HaYochid, since from the people standing inside the pit they clearly see a full wall of 10 tefachim. Tosfos explains that Rav Chisda is referring to a mound that's 5 tefachim high, and that on top of this mound there's a wall of 5 tefachim. In such a case, according to Rav Chisda's interpretation of the mound and the wall do not combine to create an area of Rishus HaYochid. It's interesting that Tosfos in Masechta Ervin agrees with our Tosfos here. However, Tosfos in Masechta Ervin takes a very interesting approach to this entire Shaila. Tosfos says that from the vantage point of those in the Rishus HaRabim, there's a full wall of 10 tefachim blocking them off from the area on the mound. So therefore, says Tosfos, somebody in the Rishus HaRabim who would throw something that would land on top of the mound would be considered that he carried from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. It's only somebody standing on the mound that's throwing to the Rishus HaRabim, he, according to Tosfos, would not be chayiv for Haitzah, since from the vantage point of those inside the area, there's no full wall of ten tefachim surrounding them. So you could have the same area where some people would be chayiv a malacha d'oraisa and some would not. The Mefarshim and the Paiskim also discuss, we're discussing how do we consider or how do we combine different areas. What would be the halacha they discuss regarding if there's a wall surrounding an area, a wall surrounding a pit? How far could the wall be from the pit that it could still be considered the wall of the pit? So the Kaf HaChaim says that it has to be within three tefachim of the pit. But it seems that the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish don't necessarily have such a strict perspective. Darish M'Reima. So again, Amar Rav Chizda, Gidu Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Eimet Starfim. Because you need Achei Kulba Mechitza, or it should be a Rosh Hashiyachah through a wall, a Kulba Gedid, Begidu, or through embankment. But we can't combine. Darish M'Reima, however M'Reima says, Gidu Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Amit Starfim, they do combine to create a Rosh Hashiyachah. Vilchus, and that indeed is the Halacha, that they are Amit Starfim to create an area of Rosh Hashiyachah. The halacha is that before one eats bread, he has to wash his hands. And Rishonim give us two reasons for this halacha. One is because of Nikius. We know that Kedusha comes through cleanliness. And washing one's hands before eating bread is certainly a step towards cleanliness. Another pshat is because we know that the Gemara says many times, Stam Yadayim Shnei Yisayim. Hands were normally considered tamei, and one who ate truma had to be careful to make sure that his hands were in tamei, and therefore Chazal decreed that before one eats bread, he should wash his hands. Certainly, as the Rishonim teach us, one should preferably use a lot of water to wash his hands. It avoids halachic shilas. And besides that it avoids halachic shaylas, it brings tremendous bracha to people who act that way. However, our Gemara will discuss, and again based on the previous Gemara, see how we can or can't use combination concepts regarding Hilchas Nadiyah, Tilas Yodayim. By Ilfa, so Ilfa asked the following shayla. Yodayim Taharis Lachtzoyim, can hands become tar halfway, or ain't tar slachtzoyim, or can they not become tar halfway? So first we need to understand, what is the Gemara Shaila? Hechidami, exactly what is Ilfa asking? Ilaim the kamashu beit shrem revius. If we'll say that Ilfa is asking regarding two people washing from one revius, which we know the revius is the amount of water one should use for washing his hands, but tanan, the Mishnah clearly teaches us Masechta Yadayim. Merviyas Noitlin Yadayim L'Echot Fafil L'Shnayim. One Revius can be used for one person to wash his hands, or even for two people to wash their hands. And the simplest Pshat is Rashi's Pshat, who says that the proper way that the Mishnah is teaching us, that since we began with a Revius of water, we could use that one Revius not just for one person to wash his hands, for more than one person to wash his hands, even though each person will be using less than a revius. That's how Rashi learns. And obviously then, that can't be Ilfa's question. The Ravid says the halacha here is referring to Mayim Shniyim. We know that the halacha is that when one's washing his hands to eat bread, he has to wash each hand twice. And here it's saying that if one washed his hand properly the first time, then for the Mayim Shneim, which are only used to rinse off the water that became Tamei, because they touched the hands that were Tamei, then the Mishnah says we don't really need a Revius. But for the first Nitilas Yadayim Rishonim, a Revius is required. The Rambam learns just the opposite, that for Mayim Shneim, a Revius is required, but not for Mayim Rishonim. And yet other Rishonim explained that Mishnah to be referring to a situation when the two people who are having their hands washed from one Revius are having them wash together. They're keeping the hands, one person's hands are below the other person's hands. So the water that flows onto the first person's hand, that entire revius, then hits the bottom person's hands after it touches the other upper person's hands. But again, we're going to learn the Gemara in Rashi. Rashi says that if we began with a revius, then it certainly could be used for one person or for the second person. So that couldn't be Ilfa's question. The question, therefore, the Gemara suggests, is the Kamashik Chad Yodei, where somebody washed his hands, and he didn't wash the other hand. He washed each hand separately. And as the Gerush Yerachim explains the Gemara's question, the Gemara is not asking, he explains, that one should have to wash his both hands at the same time. We know that nowhere in Halacha is it required that the two hands have to be washed together. In fact, if the two hands would have to be washed together, the Halacha would require that one would always only be able to have Netil Shadayim with somebody else washing one's hand. Nowhere in Halacha do we find such a requirement. And certainly he says that if one washed his hand and it's wet, and then he washes his second hand, that's the mitzvah. The question here is, where he washed one hand and it got dry, and now he washes the second hand, is that fulfilling the mitzvah Netilas Yadayim? Says the Gemara v'Tanan, that certainly should be fine. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Anoitel Yoda Achs Netila. If one is Mekayim Netilas Yadayim, one hand by washing it, V'Achs B'Shtifa, and the other hand by immersing it in a mikveh, Yod of Tahiris. So you see that we don't have to have both hands simultaneously. Ask Taisus the obvious question. Here, we're asking, maybe you have to have both hands washed the same time. So maybe the case that the Mishnah says, well, yes, one hand was rinsed and one hand was immersed, but perhaps they were immersed and rinsed at the same time. So how do we bring a raya from that Mishnah? So Taisus explains, and this is the way Rav David Pavarsky explains what Taisus says, that since what's the basis of the Gemara Shaila? He says that the basis of the Gemara Shaila is that do we look at the two hands as one mitzvah or as separate mitzvahs? The fact that one hand could be immersed and one hand could be washed, even if that immersion and washing were to happen simultaneously, it's clear that it's not one mitzvah. Because if it's one mitzvah, how could I do one mitzvah in two separate ways? So even if they were done the same time or they weren't done the same time, the fact that the Mishnah says that that's acceptable is a clear indication that as long as the first hand is not dry, the second hand can be still washed. There's a machloikas rishonim that the Mishnah we just quoted teaches us that one can be makayim mitzvahs netilas yadayim by having the hand immersed. The question is, does the mikveh that one immerses hand have to be memsa? Some rishonim say that the Rabbeinu Yoina says that it doesn't have to have memsa. The Rambam seems to hold that it has to have memsa. Another interesting question is that if one were to be mekayim mitzvahs netilas yadayim through immersion in a mikveh, what is the bracha that he'll make? Will he make al netilas yadayim or al tefilas yadayim? And it's a discussion amongst the paiskim, and it seems that the Mishnah Berura says that if the water that he used would be water that is can be used for netilas yadayim, then the bracha should be netilas yadayim. But if it's water that cannot be used for netilas yadayim and they're only acceptable because of tefilah, then the bracha should be tefilas yadayim. So the Gemara says perhaps what Ilfa's question is, the Kamasha Palga Palga the Yodei. He washes a half of the hand, half of his hand at a time. Ask the Gemara, how could that be the question? V'amad Bei Rabbi Yanai, Yodayim Ein Taris Lachtzoim. One can't wash his hand half at a time. So what's the Gemara Shaila? Answer the Gemara, L'tzricha Dikka Mashka Tefeach. He washed half his hand, and its hand is still somewhat moist when he comes to wash the second hand. Asks the stipler. Fine, the hand is somewhat moist. But obviously that Mishnah that teaches that Rabbi Yanai, who teaches us Yodam Ein Matayrus Lachtsoim, says that in order to be Mekayim Mitzvos Natilus Yadayim, you have to wash the entire hand at one time. So what does it make a difference that it's still somewhat moist? So the Stipler explains that the Mitzvah Natilus Yadayim is not that the hand be washed at one time, that the hand be all wet at one time. And therefore, if the entire hand is wet, or be it some are just moist, because I washed that part previously, and some part is really wet because I just washed it, but I have the entire hand wet at one time, that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah Netilas Yadayim. In other words, and as we'll see further in the Gemara, if one would wash half a hand at a time, perhaps, when it's mamish wet, it could be that everybody would agree that mitzvah Netilas Yadayim, because mitzvah Netilas Yadayim, the stipler is suggesting, is by having the hand wet, all of it wet at one time. And in fact, Rav Chaim Brisker uses a similar concept to discuss a very common shaila. And that is, sometimes people are in places where the only area where they can wash Netilas Yadayim is in a bathroom, if one is on a plane or in a train or other such places. And we know that a bathroom is a place where we can't be Mekayim a mitzvah. So how can one be Mekayim Mitzvahs Netilas Yadayim? Can one be Mekayim Mitzvahs Netilas Yadayim in a bathroom? So Rav Chaim says, as long as the hand is entirely wet, it's considered that I'm still in middle of Mitzvahs Netilas Yadayim. Because that is, as the Stipler just taught us, the Mitzvah Netilas Yadayim. So if one leaves the bathroom, washed his hand in the bathroom, and as he leaves where his hand is entirely wet, so he's still in the middle of Netilas Yadayim, and dry him and wash him outside the bathroom, and you will be Mekayim Mitzvah Netilas Yadayim. The Chazon Ish doesn't agree with Rav Chaim's concept, and although I saw a very interesting psak from Rabbi Tzion Abashol, the Rosh Yeshiva Paris Yosef, who says that a bathroom on a train or a plane may not be considered really a Beis HaKisei. A Beis HaKisei maybe only is a Beis HaKisei Kvua in a place that's stationary. A plane, a train that are constantly on the move, could be that a bathroom there is not really even considered halachically a Beis HaKisei. Ask the Gemara. So Gemara, according to our current understanding, is asking, Ilfa is asking, if one washed his hands, part of his hand, and that hand, that part is still moist, and then he washes the other part of his hand, will that be considered an acceptable Netilas Yadayim? Ask the Gemara, v'chi'ish ikka mashka tefech. Even if his hand is still somewhat moist, my havi, what does it matter? But tanan, the Mishnah says, hanitzik, which is a stream of liquid, or katafris, liquid that's running down a slope, or mashketefeach, or water, or liquid that's still moist, and a chibur, is not considered a connection, loy l'tumah v'loy l'tahara. L'tumah means that if one had tumay liquid in a vessel, and it was pouring down with an uninterrupted flow to the lower vessel, that flow doesn't connect the tamei liquid to the tar liquid. Or a katafris, if tar liquid is being channeled down a board to lower liquid that is tamei, it's not considered connected. And the same thing, mashketefeach, if between the two liquids there is just moisture, they're not considered connected, that one will be metama the other. The Rishonim, the Mefarshim, ask, why do we say that every drop of water is metame the next drop of water, and that's why we should have a direct connection? So some mefarshim explain that since we're referring to tumah, which is only a tumah of a tful yoyim, that has the ability to become tame, but not pass tumah further. The Shari Yoshe explains that this is considered tumah space a storm. We can't really identify the tumah, and therefore doesn't have the ability to pass tumah. It also doesn't have the ability to create tahara. So the simplest way of explaining this is that we have two mikvahs, both of them not having an adequate shear. The nitzik, the katafris, the mashketofeach, cannot connect the two mikvahs. Other Rishonim say that there's machlokes rishonim how far we take this din. Some say we're only referring to a situation where we have two mikvahs that are possible, and they can't, these concepts that we just learned can't connect the two mikvahs. But if one mikvah were kosher, it could be connected this way. And others say that it makes no difference if both are possible, or one is kosher, one is possible. These do not serve as connectors. So we clearly see that toifeach, mashke toifeach, doesn't serve as a connection. So the Gemara, like Tzricha, the question that we're discussing is where deka toifeach latfeach. It's so moist that it could give off further moisture. It's so wet that if somebody were to touch it, he would be, his, what he touches becomes wet also. Before we go further, Ramosha says, interesting, that the Divrei Chaim, based on the Gemara we just learned, says that the surface of a mikveh, the floor of the mikveh, should be flat, straight, because otherwise it may be a question of katafras. However, Ramosha doesn't understand what the Divrei Chaim says. Katafras that we're learning is regarding connecting, but regarding actual mikveh, that it's a pool of the water, it shouldn't make a difference if it's flat or on a slope. So Agamar says that it's talking about moisture. It's so moist that it could give off moisture. And the Gemara's question is, if one washed his hands and the hand is still that moist, and then he washed the other part of his hand, will that be considered an effective Netilas Shadayim or not? Ask the Gemara, Hanami Tanina. That also we learned. Because the Braisa says, Tafeich Latfich, if it's so moist that it could give off moisture further, that is considered a chibur. It is considered a chibur for Tumat Tahara. So that couldn't have been Ilfa's question. Answers the Gemara, where the Braisa says that Toifeach Latfiach as a chibur is Dilmal in your mikvahs, strictly as far as Hilchas mikvahs are concerned, from Yehudihi, and it represents the opinion of Yehuda, the Tanan, mikvah sheyesh by Bob Samachavonis. The Mishnah says, in Mesech the mikvahs, we know that the minimum shear of a mikvah is 40 saw. So if there's a mikvah that has exactly 40 saw, v'yorod u'shnayim v'tavlu, and two people went into this mikvah, b'zechazah, one following the other, rishon tahor, so the first one went into a kosher mikvah, and he's tahor. V'sheni, but the second one, since he went into the mikvah after the first person left, and when he left, he took some water with him, so now the mikvah no longer contains a bom saw, so the second one is tamei. Rabbi Yehuda says, Emhoye raglov shel rishon noigas b'mayim, if the first person is still somewhat connected to the mikvah, because his feet are still in the mikvah, then we say good achas, which pulls down all the water in his body, to be considered like it's still in the mikvah, and that's when Hasheni Tahar. That's when we say that water, if there's water in his body that's still Tayfeich, Hamnas Latfiach, it's still considered in the mikvah. Because it's connected to a mikvah which was a kosher mikvah. And for the same reason the Mepharshim say, we don't have a problem that this water is Zeichlin. Usually a mikvah to be considered kosher, the water has to be stationary. Here the water is flowing down. Still, here, since it started off with a kosher mikvah, it's considered kosher. But in a case where you want to connect regarding the Tilas Yadayim, that isn't the subject of that braisa. So there's two interesting halacha lemaisas to discuss. Here we're saying that Toifeach Amnas Latfiach is enough to connect a mikvah. We know that most mikvahs we have are made kosher through our shaka, that we have one pool of water which has a hole connecting it to another pool of water, which is the real mikveh. And that's what makes the mikveh kosher, that hashaka. The halacha is that hashaka is only kosher if it's kesheferes hanoid, the size that you could put two fingers on it, not toifeich lamnas latfiach. So how do we understand that halacha with the halacha that we just learned? So the Rishonim, Tosfos and Rishonim discuss that shaila, and a number of answers are given. One answer is that these two halachas are not contradictory. One, the halacha is that the hole has to be the size of kishveferes hanoid. But how moist must be the water going through the hole? It has to be that moist of tefeach amnas latfiach. Another obvious teretz is in our case that we're saying that Tefeich Latfiach connects, it's referring to a situation where there is no wall in between. Here we're referring to two pools of water that are separated by a wall. If we want to connect these two pools, we have to have a hole of Sheferis Hanoid to make Hashaka. What is the halacha regarding the Tilos Yudayim? So we find actually a machloikus Rishonim, which is a machloikus Hapoiskim. The Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, says that if it's Tefeich Amnas Latfiach, it's certainly considered a valid Netilas Yudayim. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. And the simple reason is because it's a Sofik. And Sofik and Netilas Yudayim is a mitzvah Drabonin. And Sofik Drabonin Lakula. However, the Rosh and the Tor, which is the opinion that the Ramah follows, say that one has to wash his entire hand to be considered a valid Netilas Yudayim. Why don't we apply the concept of Sofik Drabonin Lakula? So I saw the Mefarshim answer, because if the Gemara, when it quotes Shaila, remains with the word Teku, then we say that the Gemara by the Rabbanan with Mekel, by the Raisa with Machmer. We don't find that our Gemara ends with a Teku, and therefore we have to be Machmer. Another explanation given by the Poskim is that we go back to what Rabbi Yanai said at the bottom of Tez Vav and Beis. And Rabbi Yanai told us that if we don't wash the entire hand at one time, it's not considered a valid Netilas Yadayim. And that perhaps is even if the hand is still Tefeich Amnas Latfiach. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Harei Amru. Another question about combining different situations. The halacha is, if somebody is Tomei, he has to go to the mikveh. In ancient times, it was very common that the mikveh was not so clean, the water was somewhat foul. And people would very commonly take a shower or bath after going to the mikveh to wash off that water. And Chazal were concerned that people would not recognize what was the mikveh and what was the matar. Was it the mikveh or the shower or bath afterwards? Or other Rishon, that's the opinion of Rashi. The Rambam says that one would have to go to the mikveh for eating truma, and when one goes to the mikveh to be able to eat truma, he has to have kavona, that's his purpose, and he's not going to have the proper kavona. So therefore Chazal decreed that if someone takes a shower, we'll describe what kind of a shower or bath, after going to the mikveh, he's tamei. Then Chazal took that decree further. And regarding that further decree, we actually have a machloikis rishonim. Rashi and Tosfos learn that if somebody immerses in mayim she'uvim on the same day that he went to the mikveh, then he's going to be tamei. However, if somebody pours three lugim mayim shuva on a person, he always becomes tamei and always becomes tamei. And the difference, the Rishonim says, between immersion and pouring is because immersion was the more stringent regarding showering, because that was the normal way of washing oneself in those times. And Chazal therefore made Xerah, anybody who washes by having Gimel Lugim Mayim poured on him will always become Tomei, whether he went to the mikveh that day or not. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that the din, that somebody becomes Tomei if he took this kind of a bath or a shower, is under all circumstances. So Amar Rav Yirmi, Harei Amru. And this where our Gemara picks up. Habar Rosh of Rubim Mayim Shuvim. If somebody, most of his body goes into Mayim Shuvim, V'tahor, or somebody has three lugim of mayim shuvim poured in him, he's tamei. Again, according to the Rambam, always. According to Rashi and Tosfos, we distinguish between the day of tefillah by Rosh of Arubai, and always when he took a shower. So now, as Rav Yirmiyahu, what's going to be an halacha chetzi bebia? If somebody went into washed half his body by immersion, the chetzi benefil and half of it by a shower. My, do they combine? And the Gemara remains with a teiku on this question. The Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham say since it's a Sofik to Rabbanon, we're Mekel. The Meiri, however, is Machmer. And the Mefarshim explain the basis of the Meiri's Chumrah, because here we're dealing with a person who's Tomei, and since the person is Tomei, we keep him the Cheskes Tumah until we know for sure that he's not. There's an interest, now the question obviously comes up. People who go to the mikveh, are they allowed to take a shower nowadays after going to the mikveh? So the Paiskim say that certainly a man who goes to the mikveh, there's really no chiyuv midaraisa today for a man to go to the mikveh, and therefore it's only for Tfilas Ezra, which is really not in place nowadays, and certainly he may take a shower or bath after going to the mikveh, no question. The question is regarding a woman, a nida, who goes to the mikveh, could she take a shower or bath? What will be her status? It's a machloikis of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and the Ramah says that a woman after going to the mikveh is not allowed to take a bath or a shower. Ramosha, in explaining the Ramah, says that it's only that day, but certainly the day, any other day, even by a nida, because our Gemara is only referring Mi'ikar Adin to someone who is going to eat truma. The Ramah is being machmer and saying that even a nida should be tamei, but he says that the chumrah of the Ramah should not be extended past the day that she or night that she actually went to the mikveh. However, many paiskim obviously discussed this question: is a woman allowed to take a shower or a bath after she went to the mikveh? And I saw that the paiskim give a number of tshuvas. The Klaus Magrebbe says in the tshuvas that if she takes the shower or the bath, as long as she doesn't take it in the mikveh, we could be mekel. The Tzitz Eliezer says that as long as she doesn't wash her entire body at one time, she washes one part of her body at a time, that would also be acceptable. And then I saw that Rav Voznin, the Shaul Satshuva Shevet Levi, has a very interesting approach. He says what the woman should do is after she goes to the mikveh, she should have her husband touch her. What is the reason, he says, Chazal were so concerned? Because they were concerned that people would confuse what makes the person tahor. Is it the mikveh that makes the person tahor, or is it the shower? But if this woman, after she left the mikveh, her husband is touching her, so she obviously recognizes that it's the mikveh that makes her tahor, and therefore she could take a shower or bath after that. Amra papa, harei amru, balkeri choyle. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that Chazal said that a person should not learn Torah when he is a balkeri, until he goes to the mikveh. Chazal, however, said if somebody's sick, if 9 kavim of water poured in him, he's tahor. And obviously here we have a question. In the previous Gemara we learned that having water poured on you makes you tamei, and here it makes you tahor. So the Ritva asked this question, and he gives 3 answers. One answer, which is really, I think, what Rashi says, is that the person isn't really tahor. The question is he allowed to daven or learn? So the Gemara is teaching us that when we pour 9 lugim, he's going to be allowed to learn. He's not yet tahor. He would not be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash until he goes to the mikveh. Another teretz is that the person only becomes tamei when 3 to 9 lugim are poured on him. But if 9 lugim are poured on him, as in the case that we're discussing, he certainly will be tahor. A third teretz is that since the person is ill, so Chazal never made this gzeira that having water poured on you makes you tamei. And this asks Rapapa, by Rapapa, chetzio betfila. If this balkeri purified himself for learning, half by going to the mikveh, v'chetzio b'nesina, and half by having water poured at him, my, what is the halacha? The Gemara remains with a teiku. So here we've just finished learning a gewaldige sugya about combining different concepts in halacha. And the Pais can bring many examples of this concept. I saw a tshuva from the Elif L'Chashleima, from Rav Shleima Kluger. We know that the halacha is In the winter we say Mashruch Murda Geshem. In the summer we say Murda Tal. And the Shulchan Aruch says that for the first 30 days after we start saying, if a person is not sure what he did, we have to assume that he didn't say what he was supposed to say because he's not accustomed to saying it. But the Shulchan Aruch gives us a piece of advice. He says what we could do is say it 90 times. Say Mashruch Murda Geshem 90 times. Say Murda Tal 90 times. And that will say that you're accustomed to say it the right way. Ask Rosh Shlomo Kluger, what will be, it's 15 days after we began saying Mash V'Ruch Marta Geshem. And now, so could I combine? I davened this way for 15 days, and now only say it for 45 times. Will that be acceptable? And he says, certainly that's acceptable. The whole point is to get the person used to it, and this certainly will get a person more used to it than just saying it 90 times. Another halacha question I saw is if a person's lighting Hanukkah candles, and he doesn't have enough oil or enough candles, and he wants to combine, it's the fifth night, he wants to use three candles with oil and two candles with candles. Could they combine? So the Paiskim say, regarding lighting candles Friday night, where the entire purpose of lighting the candles is just Shalom Bayis, certainly we could light different types of candles. Similarly, if we're lighting Hanukkah candles with oil, and one's using olive oil and vegetable oil, for example, it's all oil and it can combine. But to have one menorah, candles and oil, perhaps should not be done. Different menorahs in the house, certainly the Paiskim say, some could be candles, some could be oil. Another question the Mishnah Berurah discusses. Sometimes the person is not sure if he made a mistake in Shemoneh Esrei, and he has to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. And the question is, so what he does is, he just says along Shemoneh Esrei with about tefillah as he's saying Chazaras Hashatz. But the question comes up when the Chazaras, when the about tefillah comes to Maidim, there's some Bali tefillah that say Maidim quietly. So there he can't rely on the about tefillah. So there he's going to say Maidim himself. So he's davening partially by hearing and partially by saying, can they be combined? And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says this is one of the reasons that the Bali Tefillah should be careful that when they say Maidim Bechazar Sashatz, they should be careful to say Maidim out loud because the people may be relying on them for the Shemoneh Esrei. I saw a similar Shaila that Tzvi Paisach Frank discusses that there was a minig in Shlaim when they said Havdol and Shul Matzoi Shabbos, the Chazan would say Havdol and would start the Baruch Baruch Ato Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam, and everybody else would end the Ma'ir Ha'esh. Everybody else would end together with the Chaz and the Bari Meinu B'Samim. Could combining hearing and sighing be acceptable? And he says it is acceptable. Another Shaila, I saw two more Shailas we'll discuss regarding this subject, is regarding, we know there's a question regarding the Lulav, that one should take the Lulav and the Adasim and the Aravis all together. But so the halach is, that's called Igud. Say the Paiskim, if you're going to do Igud, you have to do it right. The lulav, adasim, varovis. But let's say only one wants to do igud, just the lulav and the adasim, or just the lulav and the arovis. Since he's not doing it correctly, he shouldn't do it at all. Aikul takanas chachamim, akula bechassim saget. Another question that I saw the Shvus Yaakov discusses, if one has kawir, let's say, the tefillin shorosh of the Rabbeinu Tam, and tefillin shoyad of Rashi, could they combine? And of course the Shvus Yaakov says, b'chatchila, one should not do that. Because according to Rashi, you're not yoytzu with the Rebbeinu Tam tefillin, and vice versa. However, he says that if one has no choice, the only tefillin shorosh available to him is Rebbeinu Tam. The only tefillin shoyad available to him is Rashi. He better, since these are really two separate mitzvahs, he can wear tefillin in that way. But he should make the bracha on the Rashi tefillin, since those are the tefillin that we really hold is what's required. So the Mishnah said, "Echad amim b'fani nechtam, echad b'fani nechtam. If one said b'fani nechtam and one shliach said b'fani nechtam, the halach is the get is not valid." Amar Rav Shuvah Yehuda, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo yishon elish en a get yoytz b'tachad shneim. All these halachas that we have to be careful how to b'fani nechtam is said is only when one person is bringing the get. Ava get yoytz b'tachad shneim. If two people are bringing the get, then it's always kosher. Rashi says when two people bring the get, Shnayim adukim beget. They're both holding on to the get. Taisus says they don't both have to hold on to the get. And furthermore, we have machlokes Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says that they have to be both shlichim, actual people who were designated to bring the get. Taisa says they don't have to both be shlichim, as long as the people who are able to say that they saw the giving of the get, that's enough. Why does Rashi require, Rashi explains on top of Amud Beis, that they have to be shlichim? Because once they're not shlichim, we're going to get confused if there's one shliach or more than one shliach, and therefore Chazal only made an exception if they're actually shlichim. Alma Kosova. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Shnaim Shaviyu get from Dina Siyam, if two people bring a get from Dina Siyam, and it's Yichshem Rifaneinu Nechtam Rifaneinu Nechtam. We don't have to say Rifaneinu Nechtam Rifaneinu Nechtam. Rashi explains, because we're following the opinion of Rava, that the point of saying Rifaneinu Nechtam Rifaneinu Nechtam is Kiyum, to confirm the signatures, and therefore we have two people, we have Kiyum. Omle Abaya. So Abaya starts to ask, Elmeat, Sef Diktani. We learned at the end of our Mishnah, Shnaim Amr Fanein Nechtam. If two people said Fanein Nechtam, V'achar Amr Fanein Nechtam, and only one said Fanein Nechtam, the Halacha that the Tanakama holds its posel, Rabbi Yehuda Mafshir, Tama, obviously it's referring to a case, the Ena Get Yoitz Mitaksidei Shneim. Because, as we just learned, Ha Get Yoitz Mitaksidei Shneim, if two Shlichen would have brought the Gret, then there would be no room for a machlokes, because we just learned the machshir rabbanon that if two people bring the get, then even if nothing is said, so it makes a difference how it was said, the get would be kosher. Amalei in. So if Shmuel said yes, as Tosfos explains, Abaye was really setting up a question. V'chi ein get yoitz v'tachshtei shneim. So if we're explaining that this case is referring to two shlichim, that's not two shlichim who have brought the get, but my pligi, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that it's kosher? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that this is acceptable? And if there's only one shliach, and he didn't speak both about the ksiva and the ksima, how could Rabbi Yehuda hold that the get is kosher? Answers the Gemara. Mar sava, the Rabbanan hold that even though the shliach spoke about the chesima, Gazrinan, if he did not speak about the ksiva, it's not acceptable, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, because Dema Asi Lachluf B'Kiyim Shtaris Da'alma. Really, Kiyim Shtaris, and as we're learning, like Rashi, the entire focus of the Gemara at this point is Kiyim Shtaris. Kiyim Shtaris is fulfilled with the eights, with the shliach saying Befani Nechtav. However, there's a problem, there's a flaw with this Kiyim. There's only one person being Mekayim. But as we learned, it's a special kula by guna, by get, because Mishumiguna kilabar rabbonim. Chazal therefore said that not only should he say b'fanei nechtav, he also says b'fanei nechtav, not to get confused with other kiyum where two full-fledged edim are required. And that's why here too, if the shliach only said b'fanei nechtav and he did not say b'fanei nechtav, tell us the rabbonim, it's not acceptable. Omar Sava, ever of Yehuda's holds, since, even though the Shliach is the only one that's speaking about the Ksima, but we have two other witnesses testifying about the Ksiva, so we don't have a reason to make a Gzeira, and therefore, like Gazrinan, and its kosher. Lishtachrina Amrilot, but a different version, has it this way. Omar Shmuel by Yehuda, Omar of Yochanan, a fil get yoitz mitachshtei shneim, even if we have two Shlichim bringing a get, the loch is possible. The get is not possible if they didn't say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Alma kesavar, obviously according to this version of Yehuda holds, shnayim shaviyu get from Dina Siyam, if two people bring a get from Dina Siyam, tzrichim shiyomru, they, even though they're two people, they have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Amar Abaye, so again Abaye goes, el ma'ata, seif diktani, at the Mishnah we just quoted, said shnayim omrim b'fanei nechtav, if two edim say b'fanei nechtav, V'achar Amar Fanei Nechtam, the Halacha is possible. Yehuda holds Machsha. Afilu get Yoitz Medach Sidei Shneim, because even if we're referring to a case where two Shlichim brought the get, Pasli Rabbanim. The Rabbanim will still hold its possible, because according to Rabbanim, you need to have two people saying B'Fanei Nechtam, B'Fanei Nechtam. And as the Rishonim explained, Rashi continuing, here we're following the opinion of Rabbah, that the reason B'Fanei Nechtam is said is because of Lishma, and therefore it makes no difference how many people brought the get. We have the concern of Lishma. So ask the Gemara, if we're saying that even if two people bring a get, they have to say b'fanei net b'fanei nechtam, so b'may pligi, how does the Yehuda say that this get is kosher? Answers the Gemara, ma'asava, says the Gemara, that exactly is the machlokes. The Rabbanan hold l'fishem b'kin l'shma. The concern is l'shma, and therefore, even if two people bring the get, we need to know that the get was written l'shma, and therefore b'fanei nechtam has to be said. However, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda holds l'fishem edim mitzrim l'kaima. The entire reason we have to say b'fanei nechtam is because we need to be able to confirm the signatures. And as we learned at the beginning of Masechta, whenever we have two people bringing it, so we know that the get could be confirmed, and we don't have to go through any b'fanei necht b'fanei nechtam. So according to this, we say now that the machloikis of Rabbi and Rava, according to this Lishna Basra, is really a machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, which is difficult to say. The Rabbi and Rava were just repeating a machloikis tanoim. Loi, says the Gemara, Rava Mataritz Lishna Kama. Rava will hold, Rava who says that the concern is Ein Eidim Mitzrim L'Kaim will hold like the first Lashon. Rava Amalach, that, and therefore when two people bring the get, we don't have the concern of Ein Eidim Mitzrim L'Kaim, and therefore the first Lashon correctly said, we don't have to say V'fanei Nechtam V'fanei Nechtam when two people bring the get. Rava Amalach, the Kol Amal B'in L'Shma. Everybody says that the reason is L'Shma. Even Rabbi Yehuda, v'achem ma'iskinet. What is the case of our Mishnah? Lachash lamdu. They already learned after the time that everybody became familiar with the halacha of lishma, and the concern is b'gzeira Hashem yachzu davar l'kulkula k'mifki. Even though everybody became familiar with the din of lishma, Chazal still said that b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam should be continued to be said in case chas v'shalom we come to a time that people will forget the halacha of lishma. So masav the rabbanon hold that even when two people bring a get, since we're concerned about Lashma, and we're concerned Shem Yachs Davul Kekuloi, they have to say B'fanei Nechtam B'fanei Nechtam. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds L'Gazrinin. Two people bringing a get is something that's uncommon. Nilsad L'Shchicha L'Gazabar Rabbanan, and therefore, we don't need to say B'fanei Nechtam B'fanei Nechtam when two people bring a get, now that everybody is familiar with Lashma. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. In the beginning of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that if two people bring a get, one says b'fanei nechtam, if one says b'fanei nechtam, the get is posel. But and Rabbi Yehuda didn't disagree. But if Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that if two people are bringing the get, we don't have to worry about kiyum because the two people bringing it, and we don't have to worry about lishma, because it's after people learned the din of Lashma, and we're not worried Shem Yachsa Dava L'Kekuloi, so Yehuda should even argue that if one said B'fanei Nechtav and one said B'fanei Nechtav, the get should be good. Hayit Malah, says the Gemara, indeed. Amu'ula, Chol L'Kai Rabbi Yehuda Af Rishoner. Rabbi Yehuda even disagrees in that case and holds the get to be valid. Masar V'Yishilu'ula, how can we say Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in that case? The Braisa says Rabbi Yehuda machshav zu b'lo becheres, only the case quoted at the end of the Mishnah. The third case, it was Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing. My lav lamute, echaram mefanei nechtam v'echaram mefanei nechtam. That there Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rabbanan. So the Mar loy, Rabbi Yehuda will not agree in that case, as we explained. What does the Braisa mean to say? Lamute mefanei nechtav avlo mefanei nechtam. If one shliach brought the get, and he only said b'fanei nechtam, he didn't say b'fanei nechtam. Saka da'at chamina. However, goes Rabbi Yehuda gzeira. Just like we just learned, that Rabbi Yehuda learned, we don't make gzeira shem yachzu davar l'kekuloi, when two people bring a get. Dilma osu l'chlufi. So too Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make gzeiras. B'kim shtaras ta'alma beit echad. And if one person brought the get, and said b'fanei nechtam, maybe Rabbi Yehuda will say that's fine, and we don't have to worry that's going to cause confusion, and people are going to think you could always be mekayim, you could always confirm a shtar with one aid. Nami lagazer kamash one. Rabbi Yehuda does in fact say that if one person brings a get and he only says b'fanei nechtam, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that since there's a concern it's going to get confused with other kiyum, that is not an acceptable way of bringing the get. Or, some Rishonim say, that even though Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make the gzera of Shema Yachsa Davul Kekuloi by two shlichim, but by one shliach, he does agree to the gzera of Shema Yachsa Davul Kekuloi. Itma Nami, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Shnaim Shavu Get, Medina Siyam, if two people bring the get, Bonal Machloikus of Yehuda Rabbanan, that is the subject of Machloikus of Yehuda Rabbanan. According to the first version, the get is always good because the concern is kiyum. According to the second version, we explain, is there a reason to make exera of Shema Yachs double kakuloi when two people bring a get or not? Rabbi Yehuda says there is no reason to make such exera. The Rabbanan hold there is a reason to make such exera.